So Gorpurnim is coming. It's around the corner. And our authorities decided that we'll read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. We'll have classes in the, at least in the morning. I don't know if in the evening, but at least in the morning we'll have classes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's why we're not reading from Srimad Bhagavatam today. Okay, so we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 15, text number 41. Okay. Acharere agya dila kariya samana. Achandala adi Krishna bhakti diodana. Okay. Acharya Antu Advaita Acharya Agyadila ordered Karya Samana with great respect. Achandala, even to the lowest of men, known as the Chandala. Adi, beginning with Krishna Bhakti, Krishna consciousness, or devotional service to Lord Krishna. Dio, deliver. Dana, in charity. Translation and purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. With great respect, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Advaita Acharya give Krishna consciousness, devotion to Krishna, even to the lowest of men. Chandalas. Purport. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to all his devotees. Krishna Bhakti, devotion to Krishna, is open to everyone. Even low-class men like Chandalas. One should follow this order in the disciplic succession, stemming from Sri Advaita and Nityananda Prabhu, and distribute Krishna consciousness without discrimination throughout the world. There are different kinds of men, beginning with the Brahmana and going down to the lowest platform known as Chandala. Whatever one's position, everyone in this age of Kali needs to be enlightened in Krishna consciousness. That is the greatest need of the day. Everyone is acutely feeling the pangs of material existence. Even in the ranks and files of the American Senate, the pinpricks of material existence are felt, so much so that April 30, 1974 was actually set aside as prayer day. Thus, everyone is feeling the resultant pinpricks of Kali Yuga brought about by human societies indulging in illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. Now is the time for the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to distribute Krishna Bhakti all over the world and thus follow the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord has ordered everyone to become a guru. Amara Agyaya Guru Hanatara Idesha. Everyone in every town and village should be enlightened by the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada repeats everyone for a few times. Krishna consciousness should be distributed to everyone indiscriminately. In this way, the entire world will be peaceful and happy, and everyone will glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he desires. The word Chandala refers to a dog eater who is considered the lowest of men. Even Chandalas can be enlightened in Krishna consciousness due to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's benedictions. Krishna Bhakti is not the monopoly of a certain caste. Everyone is eligible to receive this great benediction given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone should be given a chance to receive it and be happy. The word dana, meaning charity, is also significant in this verse. Whoever engages in the distribution of Krishna consciousness is a charitable person. Professional men recite Srimad Bhagavatam and discuss Krishna Bhakti for an exchange of money. They cannot distribute such exalted transcendental property to everyone and anyone. Only pure devotees who have no motive other than serving Krishna can give such transcendentally valuable benedictions out of charity. I'll just read the text of the next. It says, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu go to Bengal and without restriction manifest devotional service to the Lord Krishna consciousness. So the context of these verses is that Advaita Acharya and the other devotees from Navadvip would go and visit Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri for Ratha Yatra every year. They would go. And they would usually stay for Ratha Yatra, they would stay a bit more, and they would go back. So when they go back, Lord Chaitanya approaches Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda says, okay, you're going back, what are you going to do? Not exactly like that. But okay, you're going back, you should preach Krishna consciousness. Like sometimes devotees, they go to India and they go and then they get some inspiration. And at least in our movement, it's understood that this inspiration should be used for preaching. You go to India, you recharge, and when you come back, you're full on. You'll go and you're like, okay, let's do it. Harinam every day, 3 Harinams a day. I'm on fire. As Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, this is expected of everyone. It's not just Advaita Acharya. That, okay, this is instruction for Advaita Acharya. He's Vishnu Tattva, so he should do it. He can do it. But of course, this means everyone should preach according to his capacity, and preaching means preaching and supporting the preaching. It's not just, okay, it's many things. But that's the point, that's the instruction. And then you have devotees who have the same mood. You have Lord Chaitanya who has this mood, and you have devotees who have this mood. I was reading because I wanted to, I was searching for something and I chose another verse, which is at the end of this chapter, and then I said, okay, let's read the whole chapter to see what's what's going on in this chapter. And then I found some very interesting things in this chapter. And another interesting thing in this chapter is the famous prayers from Vasudevadatta. Also, after the discussion, Lord Chaitanya, it's same scene after the instructions to Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda and others, Lord Chaitanya is addressing different devotees, and glorifying them for their qualities. And then it gets to Vasudevadatta. And Vasudevadatta says, this is somehow famous. He says, "My Lord, my heart breaks to see the sufferings of all the conditioned souls. Therefore, I request you to transfer the karma of their sinful lives on my head. My dear Lord, let me suffer perpetually in a hellish condition, accepting all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish their diseased material life." So, Vasudevadatta asks Lord Chaitanya, okay, these people are suffering, so I'm willing to take all their sinful reactions of everyone. And Vasudevadatta is not joking. You know, sometimes devotees are in this mood. Okay, they hear, okay, this is Vasudevadatta. Okay. So they are also praying to Krishna. Okay, I'll take the sinful reactions of everyone. And then their head hurts a bit. And then they say, oh, but this is too much. No, maybe some sinful reaction I can take, but this is too much. I mean, I have a headache today. The whole day I have a headache. No, so Vasudevadatta is not this type of devotee. Vasudevadatta is quite serious. Okay, he's going to do it. And Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, who state that he's even more merciful than Lord Jesus Christ, who takes the sinful reactions of only of his followers and so on. So it's very... So this is the ideal devotee. Ideal devotee says, okay, Lord Chaitanya wants all these persons to be liberated. I will take whatever austerity it takes to liberate them. Whatever, doesn't matter. Of course, this is an extreme example, and probably we are not asked to take so much austerity. Maybe a bit less. But... And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, one who executes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission must be considered eternally liberated. He is a transcendental person and does not belong to this material world. Such a devotee engaging in the deliverance of the total population is as magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Such a personality factually represents Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because his heart is always filled with compassion for all conditioned souls. So here we find an example of the perfect devotee. Perfect devotee, he has no other agenda than how to please Krishna. Okay, Krishna wants this, I will do this. So that's why these devotees, they become so dear to Krishna. Because in some way, Krishna and these devotees, they are one. They are one in purpose. No. Krishna wants something, these devotees want something. There's no difference. The devotees want whatever Krishna wants. That's it. And they will do whatever it takes. So... Krishna usually gives these devotees power, some support, sometimes unlimited power, because they are responsible. Usually nowadays, power comes also to irresponsible persons. But usually power should come with responsibility. You are a responsible person, we give you some things to manage. You're not responsible, we don't give you any power, you don't destroy anything. at least you don't damage anything. So that's how it works. So this kind of devotees, they get some power from Krishna. Okay, you're a good devotee, you have proper desires, then we will empower you. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, when he hears these prayers of Vasudeva Datta, what does he say? Yeah, okay, you can suffer a bit. All right, you want to suffer? All right, bring it on. Let's make you suffer. Perfect. No, of course not. Lord Chaitanya says, if you desire the deliverance of all living entities within the universe, then all of them can be delivered even without your undergoing the tribulation of sinful activity. He says, okay, you want all the sinful people in the universe are delivered? No problem. We can do it. Krishna is not incapable, for he has all potencies. Why would he induce you to suffer the sinful reactions of other living entities? Whosever welfare you desire immediately becomes a Vaishnava. And Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from the reactions of their past sinful activities. So Lord Chaitanya says, yeah, if you desire, doesn't matter who this guy is, he can be liberated. I will give him whatever you ask, we'll give you him. That's strong statement. That's very important statement. To understand that Krishna and his devotee are one. And if the devotee wants something, Krishna will say, okay, no problem. And then we sing every morning, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasadat Nagati Kutopi. What does it mean? It means that by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. That's all, this is what we're singing every morning. This means that actually Krishna will give his mercy because we get the mercy of the devotees. So without the mercy of the devotees, zero. You cannot do anything. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, after he says, Srila Prabhupada says in a purport, that simply by the desire of a devotee, a conditioned soul can attain liberation and transcend the results of karma. So the point is, how do you get liberation? How you show your muscles? No, you get the mercy of of a devotee. That's it. It's finished. How do you get the mercy of the devotee? That's another topic, you know, because this devotee will not say, you'll go there and it's like, oh, can I get your mercy? Yeah, sure. Okay. We'll get a bit into that if you will see how much time we have. So we have to understand that we don't have so much qualification. We're not so qualified. let's keep it like that. And for example, in Sankirtan, I was thinking, because you have Vaisheshika Prabhu has this four ironclad laws of book distribution, and then first one is that your sadhana must be strong, serious, and sincere. So that's the formula. Okay, you have good sadhana. You wake up in the morning and you chant your rounds with attention, then you read the books and so on. And I was thinking, that's true. It's not untrue. But there is also something else, you know. my sadhana. How is my sadhana? Well, there is some shnik, shnik, ram, ram. Dry, you know, something. I'm not sure if this is so impressive for Krishna. He's so impressed. Wow. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And yeah, I'm reading, you know. I read these books. What do I understand from these books? Yeah, something I understand, but, you know, not much, you know, probably not so much. So, but somehow, you know, I go out and sometimes, somehow, I distribute books, you know. I distribute some books, you know. And sometimes I see some devotees who are like, I'm looking, right, where's their sadhana? I don't know. We don't know. We don't know. Are they doing some sadhana? They don't. Are they reading the books? No, they're not reading the books. And somehow they distribute books, you know, like, what's going on? And and I'm not saying this, all these things that Vaisheshika Prabhu says, they are wrong. They are correct, you know. Yeah, you should try to wake up early and chant your rounds with attention and so on. But there's something else, you know. There's and also, sometimes you see these devotees, they wake up at 2 a.m. and, you know, they read, they chant, and see, they are absorbed. And they distribute less books than others. And they're like, what's going on? I mean, what's happening? You know? And then the point is that there is something else also. And the answer is probably very complicated, because Krishna is very personal and he gives everyone according to what they need. And what. But there's also some mercy, you know, like there's this mercy factor. Somehow or other, you get the mercy of a spiritual master or the devotees, and the devotees are pleased with you, and you go out, and then in that day, you say the same things to people, hi, hello, and something happens. And in other days, you know, like you're just hello, and they're like, all right, you don't even exist. So the point is that somehow or other, we do something by the mercy of the devotees. Like His Holiness Bhaktiananda Tirtha Maharaj was explaining, how much do you actually do? Like, I mean, of course, I initiate the action. I'm going for Sankirtan. And there's some decision. Okay, I want to go for Sankirtan. Jai. Good. And then, as he was explaining yesterday, how do I move this hand? Am I moving or Krishna is moving? I mean, I'm initiated, but I don't know how this happens. So maybe, how do I stop these people? Yeah, I mean, there's some intelligence then. Where does this intelligence comes from? From Krishna. And then these people, sometimes I say the same things and nothing happens, and sometimes I say the same things and some people stop. Why? Because Krishna gave him intelligence. He says, you stop. Stop and take this book. Today. Now, right now. Just stop. They stop. No. So, yeah, I mean, there's something I'm doing, but not as much. So, I cannot take so much credit. You know, like, yeah, I'm doing something. I have this desire to go out to please my spiritual master and so on. But there's some mercy there. There's some mercy from the spiritual masters, from the senior devotees, some mercy from Krishna, and somehow. So, I was thinking that these devotees, you have devotees, they distribute 50, 100 books per day or more, and that's amazing, or thousands. But this is by the mercy of some of the devotees of Krishna. And most of these people, they know, they are aware of this, because I mean, and if this mercy is not there, then they couldn't even go out, you know. They couldn't even say hi to people. They couldn't distribute one book. Oh, this Maharaj. Sometimes you see devotees, they distribute a lot of books, and then they come and they're like, ha! You saw that? Huh? You saw that? And then you see them the next day. You know, like, 1 hour. How many books did you distribute? Nothing. 2 hours. How many books did you distribute? Nothing. Okay, maybe it's time to get humble. And when they get humble, they start distributing again. You know, like. So, anyway, that's the point, that we exist by the mercy of the advanced devotees. So, I will just give another example from the same chapter, which was the example I was searching initially. There's, it's called Amoga Lila. It's quite somehow famous, and the devotees somehow discuss this from different angles. So Amoga was this the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, this former logician, very, very advanced devotee. And Amoga was the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And, but he was not very high class. It says that Bhattacharya had a son-in-law named Amoga, who was the husband of his daughter Shati. Although born in an aristocratic Brahmana family, Amoga was a great fault finder and blasphemer. In Vaishnava culture, if you're this is the worst thing you can do, that you, if you criticize everyone and you're blaspheming everyone, then you lose the mercy of everyone. Then you can do this for some time, and then Krishna kicks you out. Like, okay, thank you. see you soon. So blaspheming everyone and criticizing everyone is not a qualification, to say the least. So Amoga is like has not so much qualification. And there's this incident. Lord Chaitanya is invited for lunch by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And there's I'll skip some parts because it's. So, yeah, I cannot skip this for this is for Bhima. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya cooks so much, you know, like so much. It's said that when Lord Chaitanya comes and he sees how much they cooked, he says, this is, how did you cook these two persons in 6 hours? You know, like, okay, we didn't even endeavor, you know. It's by your mercy. And the Lord Chaitanya says, no, no, I'm a sannyasi. How can I eat that much? And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gives some example. He says, you know, at Jagannath Puri, you eat 52 times a day, and each time, hundreds of buckets filled with prasadam. And then he says, at Govardhan Puja ceremony, you eat stacks of rice. You know, they ate a bit in... In comparison to that, this small quantity is not even a morsel for you. So, this is loving exchanges, you know, between Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. He says, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, yeah, I know you're Krishna. And, you know, in the form, as Lord Jagannath, you eat hundreds of buckets, 52 times per day, so I'm just giving you something, you know, like, come on, you can eat all this. And Lord Chaitanya says, all right, okay, whatever. That's a good argument. I ate a bit more in the past, so it's okay. I can do it, no problem. So, Lord Chaitanya accepts, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya starts serving Lord Chaitanya, and Amogha comes in, and he looks, and like, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was, he knew who he is dealing with, and he's like, he was like on guard, but now he was serving Lord Chaitanya, and Amogha just, so okay, he's not... Just jump in, and he starts, Amogha says, oh my God, this sannyasi is eating so much, 12 people can eat that much, it's horrible, and he just doesn't manage to say too much, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya turns around, and he takes a stick, and he's running after him, but, you know, like, the son-in-law is younger, and he can run faster, you know, like, so he's just running. And, Lord Chaitanya doesn't take this incident very seriously, you know, like, he said, yeah, whatever. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's taking it quite seriously. You know, you invite Krishna in your house, you give him prasadam, and then he gets blasphemed, you know, like, it's, what's going on? And he takes it quite seriously, and he takes it as... like, okay, we have to take some measure. And then he instructs his daughter, okay, you just reject this man, you forget it. He's no longer your husband. An unqualified husband must be rejected. Finished, you know. And then he's thinking, what can be done? What can be done? You know, like, how can we somehow do something that... and then... there's some instant reaction. It says, that night, Amogha, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son-in-law, fled and in the morning immediately felt sick with cholera. Cholera is some deadly disease. Some. So he has this deadly disease instantly, you know. Like sometimes you have there are some examples, these people who blaspheme the devotees or Krishna, they instant karma, they say instant karma, and Gopinatha Acharya comes to Lord Chaitanya. Gopinatha Acharya is a relative of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who somehow brought him to Krishna consciousness. And he informs him what's going on. And Lord Chaitanya says, oh, goes instantly. He just gets up and just goes there where Amogha is sitting. And he just cures him of all the diseases. And then he tells him that that's the important part. I mean, there's many angles to this Lila, and you can, but, you know, I was just focusing on this part. He says, Due to the association of Sarvabhava and Bhattacharya, all your contamination is now vanquished. When a person's heart is cleansed of all contamination, he is able to chant the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna. Therefore, Amoga, get up and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If you do so, Krishna will unfailingly bestow mercy upon. And then, this is very important statement. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified Amoga by touching his body and saying, "You are the object of my affection because you are the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Everyone in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house is very dear to me, including his maids and servants and even his dog." And what to speak of his relatives? So, the point here I was trying to make is that what was Amoga's qualification? Actually, he's not acting like a Vaishnava. His behavior is not really proper. And he was actually even rejected by the Vaishnavas. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya actually rejected him before. After he gets purified, he accepts him again. But Lord Chaitanya saw him, "Oh, this person is somehow related to my devotee, who is very dear for me." So we have to think like this, that if we somehow or other become dear to one of Krishna's devotees, then we're saved. That's it. Doesn't matter. You know, "Oh, I did this, I did that, I did that, I'm a rascal, I'm a this, I'm a this." No, doesn't matter. Finish. Krishna will accept you. Because somehow or other, you please his devotees. So you have to get that mercy. Of course, I mean, devotees are not whimsical, and they're not. It's not that if devotees ask you, "Okay, you will get my mercy if you play football with me." It's like, what? As I explained before, there's no difference between Lord Chaitanya and his devotees' ideas. You know, Lord Chaitanya says preach, his devotee says preach. Okay, then Srila Prabhupada says, "Okay, preach, can you preach? Just preach." And then other devotees say, "Okay, let's preach, let's give something." But the point is that we have to get the mercy. Like His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj says, once said, like, it was some informal discussion. He says, how to get his mercy. Sometimes you go, "Can I get your mercy?" And he said, "My danda is my mercy." The Maharaj sometimes is like this. But yeah, actually, how do you get the mercy? You get the mercy of the devotees by serving them. You get the mercy of the devotees. Same way you get the mercy of the guru. Tadvidi prani patena pari prashnana sevaya upadekshantite gyanam gyanina tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So somehow or other, we're doing sadhana bhakti and we're doing things, but our hope is not our qualification. We're not so qualified. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings, "Patita pavana hetu tavavataram, osama patita prabhu napai behara." He sings, "Oh my Lord, you have appeared just to deliver all the fallen souls. And among all the fallen souls, I am the lowest." That's Narottam Das Thakur. It's one of the acharyas. So if he thinks, that he's the lowest and we think that we're good, then we're probably a bit in illusion. So anyway, the point is that we have to understand that we are dependent, we're completely dependent on the mercy of the devotees. And everything we do, if you somehow get the mercy of the devotees and Srila Prabhupada, then we can have some success in the spiritual life. All right. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam.